Blog Talk Radio.
That's our cue, everyone. And this is Jane Quasar, and welcome to another wonderful day with Dr. Jerry, who is Hari Das, for information about the Zealous, as well as our wonderful, beautiful meditations with Hari Das, Dr. Jerry. So today is July the 22nd, 2021. These are very amazing and exciting times for all of us, filled with lots of goodness and lots of great energies, as well as challenges and obstacles that we come face to face. So Dr. Jerry is now with us, and this is going to be the agenda for today, is that we will all begin with information, maybe questions as well regarding the Zealous, and the same thing with meditation. If you have any questions, please go ahead and press one so that we can go ahead and press your line so that you could ask questions as well for Hari Das for meditation. So with that being said, welcome Dr. Jerry, Hari Das. Welcome to our Zora of Hollow Earth call for today. I shall go ahead, and everyone knows about Zealous, hopefully, and if you don't, I just want to say these are amazing products that they have. We're talking about spirulina that has come forth through Zealous, and it's the very best of its kind, it's the only kind, the only one of its kind that is extremely powerful, that's extremely high in detoxification and also in terms of the nutrients and the goodness that you can derive from. So with that, Dr. Jerry, I'll go ahead and let you take over. So thank you so much for being here with us today. Oh, my goodness, I better open up his line. Hi, Dr. Jerry.
That's all right. That's all right. I was starting to speak, so I'll pick up where I left off here. Anyway, I'll pick up on one point that you mentioned, that's high energy coming in, but also obstacles. And it's really characteristic for where we're at in terms of the ages that I brought up on the last call. The yugas that understand where we are in the universe as we revolve around that central point, at sometimes we're closer and sometimes further away. Right now we're transitioning into a higher energy zone, into a greater awareness zone, into a place of higher evolution, spiritual evolution. But there's still a lot of that energy left behind, that low vibration energy. So we're dealing with that, and it tends to try to pull us down and pull us backwards. So we really, at the time, we really need to be strong. And I think that's especially what we emphasize on these calls, is we help bring tools forward to help every one of this family, and of course from this family it will spread to the world, to utilize tools to be stronger. And strength literally emanates from your core, from who you are, because literally the understanding the ancients had was that you are completely full, just like you are a part of that causal source, that God energy. You are a part of that, and every master, every teacher has taught that we are that. Jesus said that we are all children of God. These things I do, you can do, and even greater things than these kinds of things. All of the great spiritual teachers recognize that we are that. So in our core, we are truth, we are strong, we are immutable, we are perfect peace, we are love, we are all of these things that this perfection of the Creator is. But what has happened is we've been cast out into this low part of the universe, and we've transitioned through that. So you go through the Middle Ages and all of this darkness, and we're attempting to transition out of that. But the consciousness of the mainstream consciousness is still caught in that. And I hesitate to say mainstream, because I really think we are the mainstream. We outnumber them for sure. We outnumber the people that are still stuck. But the people that are still stuck are stuck in those old patterns of dominance and control and money and sex and those kinds of things, the lower vibe, and not that, you know, money's bad or sex is bad or anything like that, but it's that focus. It's that energetic that's lower down in the, I'll just equate it to our chakras, lower in the chakras. You know, the first one's just about survival, getting enough food, getting shelter, just surviving here on this planet. And the second one is more about procreation, so it has the sex energy connected to it. And there's good and bad connected with each chakra. So there's actually a good sex energy can be transmuted into love and part of love. So it's not bad. The next chakra up is that one of more business mind, that kind of thing. But on the negative side, dominance, control, those kinds of things. But the world is moving from those lower three chakras into the upper three chakras, because that's the energy that's coming in. It's the more enlightened energy. It's the, when we talk about 5D, that sort of thing, or the frequency energy that's coming in that's actually changing us and spiritually evolving us, it has to do with this energy that's coming in, and we cannot be closed off to it. We cannot be so caught up in that gross energy that we were leaving behind that we miss out, especially because this family has work to do. This family has things to bring to the world, has greatness to bring to the world, healing to bring to the world. So we cannot get stuck back in that energy. We definitely have to tune in to who we really are. And that's part of what we do these calls for, and certainly why we accompany the meditation aspect. Because meditation really is, in its ultimate essence, is taking your focus from out there with all of the distractions and confusion and possibly getting pulled down a rabbit hole to back in to who you are, to your truth, to your strength, to your sovereignty. And that's where your true power is, and that's where our power is as a group of people. So it's real important that we lock in with that. But also things like zealous. And zealous, the reason that when I encountered it, I knew how special it was and how important it is. Because they've taken something that I've known for 40 years, being great, which is spirulina. It's a great thing for the planet. It's been around since the beginning of time. Literally, without spirulina, we likely wouldn't have life on the planet, because it helped to oxygenate the planet. It's the prime oxygenator. And in the very beginning, it helped to oxygenate the planet so there could be rainfall and these kinds of things, and forests and all of this. So it's like the original, I call it the original primordial superfood. It's been on the planet for millennia, for eons, and it's still the prime oxygenator. It creates more oxygen even than all of the forests combined. It takes in more of the carbon dioxide. You hear a lot about the carbon footprint. It takes in that. But something now that's very important to understand is it detoxifies the planet. So wherever spirulina grows, throughout time, it's taking whatever toxins that might obstruct life and cleaning up the environment. And it's actually been used in certain applications, like with oil spills and things like that, to help clean it up, because it takes these things into itself. But the issue with spirulina was, and I became aware of this back in the 90s, that because it's like a toxin sponge, you don't want to put it in your body. And so I stopped, somewhat regrettably, because I was very aware of all of the studies. I was very aware of the fact that it's the most perfect food, and the fact that it's powerfully anti-inflammatory, antioxidant, anti-cancer. It's an amazing thing. And yet it had this issue. But Zealous came along, and this company is on a mission. They actually, the owner of the company, had a lot of connections in Russia, and there was a lot of sickness due to radioactivity from Chernobyl. And there are other radiation leaks less publicized that have happened in Russia because of the various research that's gone on. And there's a lot of people that were coming down with radiation sickness, and the owner of this company was aware of that because certain family members of his wife is Russian, and there were family members that were quite ill. And so they researched, And one of the best ways to pull that out of the body and help restore it was spirulina, but it had to be this laboratory grown, very pure, to give it the potency to pull out that, you know, the nastiness, to pull out that obstruction, which in this case was the radioactivity. So really gave the idea of a mission that the world needs this, because radioactivity in our environment is something like 30 to 50 times higher than it was 50 years ago. And it's just getting higher, and it's a big issue. More awareness comes with each of these accidents. And when Fukushima came, you know, everybody went out and we were advised to get iodine, make sure, because most people are deficient in iodine, and you didn't want your body grabbing a hold of the radioactive iodine that was in the atmosphere. So the awareness is there, and we need tools to help keep us well and keep us strong. And they've done 7 years of research and development on their product line. It hasn't been big in the marketing arena. They have marketed to 27 countries in Europe, so that's where they were limited to. But in a small scale, mostly they were developing their product line, and they had scientists and doctors working on it and perfecting it. And they utilized this photobioreactor technology that they invented, and it's patented. Everything about this is patented and copyrighted. The photobioreactors are all patented. The formulations are patented and copyrighted. None of this can be duplicated. And the beauty of that is that they have perfected it. They've worked, they've invested heavily in it. They've worked hard on it. They've created something great. And you don't want these people out there knocking it off with second-rate things. You want to keep it very pure. And that's the one thing I get in speaking with the ownership and management, is their dedication to the purity and to doing the right thing. So it's just a very unusual company in all of those regards. So when I first tried the products, I just had the green capsules, spirulina capsules, and I tried the AM phycocyanin and the sport. And within 3 days, I had a noticeable difference in my mood and my energy. And in just feeling like I was back in my body, because I'd been through a really rough time and I was not in a great place, you know, with the death of my mother and taking care of her and everything that involved, which was really difficult. So I was not in a good place, and it put me quickly back in a good place. So I thought to myself, this has merit. And I began to expand to people I knew and began to get that kind of feedback. One of the things that I noticed, some people, because we live in a toxic world, some people had a little rough period the first week or two. It can be a little up and down, because this will detoxify you. That's one of the things that's happening here, because it's a very pure strain that's kept such high quality control. They situated this in northern Spain in the Asturias Mountains to be in this very isolated area. Apparently, it's an area that doesn't even have cell phone reception, because they wanted to keep away from every kind of negative possible influence. And it's all computer monitored 400 to 1,000 times a second and optimized around everything that the spirulina needs to grow beautifully. And what happens is you end up with a much more robust, much healthier, much more of the green and the blue and the various other colors that are produced. The green, of course, is chlorophyll. The blue is phycocyanin. There's a little bit of orange, which is carotenoids. And all of these are much more apparent in this particular product on analysis and under a microscope than it is on anything else you can see that's commercially available. So it will detoxify people, but it also meets all the nutrient needs. And it's very, very difficult to meet our nutritional needs in the world today, because our food supply has been so compromised, especially in the United States, because of the glyphosates, because it's dominated the industrial farming. And so it even ends up compromising some of the organic produce, because it's just hard to separate it, you know, especially when you're spraying and things like this. So it's very difficult to remain pure and get the nutrients we need living in the United States. So for all of us on this line, just know that we can now partake of this and make sure that we are getting every nutrient, I like to say, in God's green earth. And because the planet was made toxic over the last, especially the last 100 years, because of that, you know, back 30, 40 years ago, we talked about detoxifying seasonally, especially in the springtime, because the springtime is the time for the liver. You know, every organ has its clock, you know, its hour that is more active, and also the certain seasons, and this is traditional medicines like Chinese medicine. So the liver is spring, and it's green, and it's the element wood and these kinds of things, you know. So springtime is the perfect time to detox. So I always recommended people do that, maybe spring, and then again in the fall, because a couple times of year. But now things have exponentially gotten worse in the past 30, 40 years. So I recommend people think detox on a daily basis. And that's really hard to do. You know, the intermittent fasting has taken hold where people don't eat, you know, until later in the morning. So it gives your body a chance to kind of clean out and not always be digesting food, that kind of thing. That's good. But the fact that you introduce this particular spirulina into your body on a daily basis, it means that you're actually pulling toxins out of your body on a daily basis, which keeps you in tip-top form, and that's where we need to be. So right now the company has, and they're continuing to bring over new products. They just did launch the Ridium, which is developed from red algae, and that was launched about a month ago. And a lot of people were amazed at the difference in their faces. It is quite remarkable. I've seen a lot of evidence of complete change, like 10, 15-year age reversal within a month. It's amazing, just because of the purity and efficacy of what they're doing. But they also have other products that are coming. One is an animal line. There's a turmeric product that's coming that they've perfected, so that'll be coming in the fall. So they're going to continue to bring things to help give us access to this wonderful super green, blue-green algae and soaps and shampoos and things like that. But right now, the important thing is they have the A3, which is the green. It comes capsule or powder. I get the powder because I put it in my dog's food. And my dog had developed a German Shepherd, had the hip dysplasia, so having trouble getting around. And he had a skin disorder, and always itching, and I would feel his skin, and we had these little sites that were not good, like little rough sites in his fur. And I started giving it to him, and the skin condition cleared up quickly, I would say within a couple of weeks. And he's actually now able to chase the ball and chase his toys, and I can see it literally regressed him age-wise back to a couple of years. So I'm really happy about that. So I get the powder. And I just deal with it. Capsule's easier to take, but the powder, I start with a little bit of liquid, like water, and kind of dilute it and mix the powder, and then I pour more in, or I make a smoothie, or I sprinkle it on a salad, or I put it in a soup, these kinds of things. There's lots of ways you can take it. And I also take the blue juice, and the reason that both are good, because blue phycocyanin is actually in the blue-green algae. But the difference is, I like to use the analogy of a fire. If you have a fire and you're trying to get the fire to burn, like your own body's metabolism, you know, and you're trying to keep it going, you put a log on the fire. That's the spirulina. That's the food for the fire. But let's say the wood might be a little wet, may not be ideal conditions. Maybe you're having trouble getting it started. Phycocyanin is like the fire starter. It's like 7,000 times more active than the green. So you actually take the blue with the green, and it's like adding fire starter to the fire. It's like an immediate kind of action. And it's, keep in mind, spirulina, green and blue, are powerfully antioxidant, anti-inflammatory, anti-cancer, all of these things. And so you really want it to be active and activated. So I like to do green and blue. In the beginning, and I don't do it as much now, but in the beginning, the X3, rather than the A3, the X3 is the microbiome. And the microbiome helps to reset the gut helps to, it's got a prebiotic and a probiotic with the spirulina. And why that's important is, especially here in the U.S., but many parts of the world, the gut is challenged. And our guts have been exposed to so many assaults, not only from overuse of antibiotics medically, but in animals and gets in water. And so we're all exposed to antibiotics, which knocks back the normal flora. The other thing is the glyphosates I mentioned, because the GMO foods are all sprayed with these glyphosates, very destructive to the gut tissues and the flora. So we all have these challenges. And the reason they chose bifidobacteria is it's the primary bacteria that's given in mother's milk. So as a young baby, that is what you're given initially. And then your body, depending on where you live, different parts of the world have different biota, these microbiome, these things that grow in and on us. But it's important that your body adapts and builds that microbiome. And the bifidobacteria gives it an opportunity to reset, because it's very powerfully against all of those pathogens like the overgrowth of candida, staph and strep, and things that might happen to be opportunistic and take over. So it's very powerfully crowds those out and then creates the space to allow your body to create its perfect microbiome. So there's a lot of brilliance here. And then as the gut gets established and gets better, that allows for better functioning liver, because the gut function and liver function are very closely related. And the liver is like our body's factory. It's like the thing that has, it has 500 known functions medically. It modulates fats. We're talking cholesterols, triglycerides, all of those things that can get out of balance. It's the liver that balances them, that actually makes cholesterol, because you need cholesterol. And you need a certain amount of the high-density and low-density lipoproteins. But it's the liver's job to keep that balance. So if you go see your doctor and they say, well, you're out of balance, the good cholesterol and the bad cholesterol, or, you know, bad's kind of taking over, that's a liver issue. Or triglycerides, that's a liver issue, because it's the liver's job to manufacture those things and modulate them. It also creates the precursors for your immunity. It also creates the precursors for enzymes and hormones and all of these things, and the metabolic, the Krebs cycle, all of this, all happens in the liver. We think of the liver as filtering out toxins, which it does as well, but it does lots of other things. And now as many as 1 in 3 people have fatty liver disease in the world. And that's because we're so toxic that the liver has gotten so bogged down that can't handle all the toxins, that fat actually infiltrates the liver cells, and now they're non-functional, and the liver's slowly degrading itself and working towards, and often develops into, liver cirrhosis in worst case scenarios. So it can be deadly. But the fact that fatty liver disease is there causes the body to even build more belly fat to hopefully protect this entire area of the gut and the liver. So if you look around, there's a lot of people carrying extra pounds in the belly, and it takes a while to get it off. It takes a while because the natural process of the body, if you're taking the X3 microbiome and the green and the blue, you're helping the body achieve something that in medicine is called homeostasis, which is the balance of all things, which is the balance of all of the lipids and the sugars and the hormones and the enzymes and pH and all of these things the body needs for perfect health. That's homeostasis. And once homeostasis is achieved, now you can begin, as metabolism begins to normalize and these variables begin to normalize, now you can begin to clean things up. And that's when you begin to notice, yeah, the belly is getting less. You know, it is down an inch or two or three. I am feeling better, these kinds of things. So Zealous is, for me, it's like the Holy Grail. We've found something. We've found something that so many people need. And I'm very excited about it. So especially, you know, obviously I share it with Jane. Jane and I are really good friends. And Billy, Zorea, it's such a great family. And I've been on speaking with this family about other things like the age pill, and we've got the nanosoma, and we've got the other things. But these are all just tools to help us to be strong and for what we're dealing with. because as Jane said at the top of the call, there's lots of obstacles. And if you're weak, the obstacles are going to keep you from being who you need to be. And we're going into a phase where we need to be us and we need to be strong. And so that's why we're here. So, Jane, if there's any questions about Zealous, I'll cover it, but otherwise okay. We could, you know, ahead and jump into the meditation.
All right. So if anyone has a question for Dr. Jerry, go ahead and press your button, which is the one, and then I will see you on the board. I do have a question, Dr. Jerry, and this is in regards to the age pills that many of us have known. That's how we knew of you, was through the age pill, which many of us are still taking. And, of course, we understand that also as a wonderful way to be able to help to detox the body. So we've got two or three different products that are out there that people are taking. So this basically, as far as the Zealous products, will that kind of help to enhance or what they do, or is it vice versa? How does that all kind of work together, you know, so that we just continue to be able to detoxify it on a daily basis so it'll help to ward off, you know, problems that we may have, whether it's aches and pains, et cetera? I mean, is that all good
to do? The H pill from a purely – yeah, absolutely. The H pill is like something that comes out of, you know, science, because it has the alpha lipoic acid and things like this that are known detoxifiers. And the nicotinamide adenine dinucleotide, NAD, these are things to help get rid of the glycation buildup in the cells. So it certainly does have merit, but one of the things that I challenged the scientists at Sizzle with was, if you had some green element like spirulina, something like that, a green element, it would help because there's a methylation process that really is a boost to what they've got there. So the reality is, yes, the spirulina would work amazing with the age pill, and does. Hmm. So it's like a marriage made in heaven, actually, because one side gives you more the point of the spear, which would be the age pill, and the Zealous product would give you the entire picture. So, you know, the rest of the story, so to speak. Yeah.
Okay. We do have a question. So let me go ahead and open up this individual. This is coming from 206, ending in 1047.
Hi, this 1047. Is 1047. Yes, hello, can you hear me?
We can hear you. Thank you, Mary.
Oh, okay. I wanted to just find out the website to where we can find some of the stuff, especially the radium for the face.
Yeah, Jane's website would be Zealous.
Yes.
That's XELLISS. So, and I'm sure Jane will post it as well. But
It's actually posted on the blog talk.
Okay.
Say that one more time, Mary.
Well,
so
I was just Okay.
Yeah. So it's www.zealous, XELLISS.com/003291. Again, that number is 003291. So again, it's Zealous, XELLISS.com/003291.
Okay, perfect.
Okay, got it? Good.
I just want to make sure people always do the double L and the double S, because the company is growing pretty fast here in North America, people have captured those sites with a single L and or a single S because they count on people making a mistake and putting up their own product. So make sure double L and double S. That happens when you're successful, you know, people do that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank
Dr. Terry, could you, I know that you just spoke a little bit about the Rhydium, but can in regards to the website, so as far as navigating it, you know, I know some people in the past have had some difficulty. So one of the key things to remember is all you have to do is either you decide you want to become a customer, or otherwise, you know, you can go ahead and become a distributor. And Dr. Jared, maybe you could tell them a little bit about the difference.
Yeah. In fact, there will be a new website coming this fall, and it's going to be easier to navigate. Keep in mind, this group was focused on developing this outstanding product, and marketing was secondary to them. But the website, once it comes up, you'll see in the menu one of the options is to join. If you just want to buy retail, you don't have to join anything. You just purchase. But retail price, you're going to pay about, you know, 30% higher price. So, you know, I recommend being a preferred customer, and so, or a distributor is even less. A preferred customer would get about, off the retail price, gets about a 25% discount, and the distributor gets about a 35% discount. So you kind of have to decide, because the distributor also, there's a $30 yearly fee, which gives you a free app and gives you a very functional back office. And if you refer somebody, you will commission. So being a distributor is, I think, preferable, because you get the best price. And if you're going to order more than once, definitely you've paid for that $30 that it cost you. And then you can access the app, which should be available by the end of this month for free, because that the $30 covers that and your back office and all of that. And if you want to share it, you just send somebody something from your app, and it's going to be really easy. So unlike having to give the website like Jane just gave, you could just go into your app and you have your friend's phone number. You could just send them a link. So that'll be coming by the end of the month. But, click join, and then join as a preferred customer or as a distributor is the best way, in my opinion.
Right. So if one becomes a distributor, so if you become a distributor, do you have to have a package, because they also have packages available? Or are we looking at the volume to make you, if you purchase just individual items?
There's no amount you have to purchase, ever. So you don't have to buy a pack. It's just that saves you money. But let's say you just want Rhydium. You just want the face serum. Then don't buy the pack, or buy one of the packs that has Rhydium in it. I haven't looked since we launched the Rhydium at the packs. They may have put Rhydium in the packs, and I think if they haven't, they're planning on doing it. But if the packs don't have Rhydium, just go down to the bottom of the page and hit continue until you see Rhydium. If there's questions, email me, and I'll get in touch with you and help you through the process if it's difficult. And my email is truth. The numeral 1. So truth, TRUTH, numeral 1, at gmail.com.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for your question.
Thank you.
Very good. Anything else, Mary?
No, that's it. I'm just excited to try the Rhydium.
Yes. Good idea. Thank you. All right.
The red algae has been known for some time. It's like it's known as a cosmeceutical, meaning it's a cosmetic, kind of like a pharmaceutical cosmetic. And so the high-end skincare, these skincares, you know, that cost hundreds of dollars, they will use a little bit of it, but no more ever than 1%, because it's very expensive. And it's very difficult to find enough of the red algae to put in the product. So it's like from 0.5% to 1%. the Rhythm has 99%. It's 99% red algae extract, and it's very, very potent. Far different than anything on the marketplace. And so pure, you could actually eat it. No toxins whatsoever. And that's rare, hard to find in a skincare. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Absolutely. Oh, wonderful. Okay. All right. You got to let us know what your testimony is on that, Mary, when you begin to use it.
Absolutely.
Definitely take a before picture and then make sure you know what the lighting is and where you're sitting and everything, so it's the same. And then a month later, take a picture. 2 months later, 3 months later, we've got a lady. She's 46. And she, she's very attuned to skincare, high-end skincare, so her face was really pretty good. And she was noticing some things, some improvement, but she looked at her before picture and at the end of 3 months, and she was shocked. Things were completely different in terms of around her eyes, how her eyelids had started to kind of sag, and that was completely lifted back up. She was blown away by the difference.
Wonderful.
Okay.
Wonderful. Okay. And then thank you so much for your question, Mary. I have another question, Dr. Jerry. So if people want to get on the morning calls or to the jump start, can we offer that? Can we give people those websites for people to come in and join?
Absolutely. And I send those out to you, Jane, so forward them. Absolutely.
Right.
Yes.
I will. Okay. So go ahead and do that. Okay. I will go ahead. Normally, if I have that, I'll put it in the newsletters. So if you don't get our newsletters, either email me so I could put you on our newsletter list, or you could just go to our website and just go ahead and sign up. And that's, for all of you that are listening, you probably got here because of our website, which is Zora of Hollow Earth. All right, everyone. Thank you. Thank you again, Mary, for your question. And I think that is it for right now.
Okay.
Okay.
So I wanted to ask how long we have, because I always like to give a little bit of background on in regard to meditation rather than jumping right into it. So
sure.
How long do we have?
Well, we have another hour.
Wow. Okay, that's plenty. All right.
I made room.
Okay, good. Good. I know there's people that have heard some of these things before, but I don't know if they're people that are brand new, and instead of just jumping into a meditation and trying to, figure it out, I would rather give a little background. And so bear with me if you've heard some of these things before. And I think I gave a little bit of a highlight as we started the call why we want to meditate. And the reason is you want to attune yourself to that energetic that we're moving into, and you want to avail yourself to that because that's where we're moving to. And where we're moving to is a greater awareness of self, a greater awareness of who you are. And the essence of meditation, and this is a repeat from earlier, is actually getting away from all the distractions and the pull of the world and coming back into that center place, that place in your heart where your knowing self is and where your strength is, where your sovereignty is, where who you are is. I had many spiritual teachers, one main one for about 35 years, but I had spiritual teachers prior to that. I could go back even to early college days where I was, studying Aikido with a fellow who was fairly advanced spiritually, and it really attuned me to the fact of the importance of that. And part of my story, I'll go really quickly through this, is I actually had a very difficult younger life and a lot of health challenges. And by the time I was in my, 19, 20 years old, I was actually headed out of this world. I was actually literally dying. And I found at one point where I really felt that was it, that I was actually caught. I was actually stopped. It was almost like a hand came and caught me and kept me from completely leaving this world. And I realized then that there is something greater, that there is, spirit is there. And I began to earnestly seek. And the first was, a friend of mine was going to a self-realization fellowship in Pasadena, California, where I was going to school. And I actually went to a couple of services. Seemed a little strange, but I was drawn to it. So I read Autobiography of the Yogi, and that was it. I was toast then. I was like, I got to learn more. And after that, I ended up in, after I graduated, I ended up in the Sierras, in the foothills of the Sierras, up in Nevada City. And I lived in and around the Nanda community. They were a community of folks who followed those teachings of Yogananda and practiced Kriya Yoga. And I was in and around that community for a couple of years. And while there, I met some people and meditated with some people that during that time I'd met Swami Muktananda, and I'd meditated with these people that followed Swami Muktananda, and I was in Northern California, so they would go to Oakland. And my wife and I wanted to live in that Oakland ashram, but there was no room, but there was room at the Santa Monica ashram. So we drove down to Santa Monica and lived in and around the Muktananda community for a couple of years. And I'd met Muktananda already, and he's the one that gave me the name Haridas. And so he was a teacher of mine. And while I was in Los Angeles, I went to the Bodhi Tree bookstore one day, and I saw a book about Lahiri Mahasaya. And Lahiri Mahasaya was one of the original guru of the self-realization, and went from Bhavatar Babaji to Lahiri Mahasaya to Swami Sri Yukteswar to Paramahansa Yogananda. And I saw this book written about Lahiri Mahasaya, and I got it and I read it. And who wrote this book? It was this Swami who was living in San Diego, and his name was Satyeshwarananda Giri. And I called him and said, I would like to meet you. And he apparently looked at a calendar and gave me a date, which was about 6 months away. And I thought to myself, that's very strange. I must be very busy. So I accepted that. And 6 months later, I showed up there, and he told me stories about India. And there was this Swami sitting there, and I was sitting there in the room on the floor, and he was sitting there a couple of feet from me and just told me stories about India. And it was interesting, but I left. And then within the next week, I realized he was telling stories about my life. Because it didn't occur to me while he was telling the stories, but all of a sudden I'd be doing something and it would hit me. That story he told was about me. It must be a coincidence. So I went about my business, and then maybe a day later, I'm doing something else. I went, boom. Ha! Another characteristic I have was in that another story he told. And about the third time that happened, I'm like, okay, I've got to go down and talk with this guy again. And so I called, and he made an appointment. It was like 6 months later. I'm like, wow, same kind of deal. 6 months later, I go back, and this was all back around 1983, by the way. And I go back, and I sit there, and this time my ears are perked a little bit, and he starts explaining things, and I'm like, right on, he's talking about me. And he even knew where I was having a pain, because he pointed to the exact spot where I was having that pain in my lower right abdomen, and he talked about it. I'm like, okay. And I asked him if he would initiate me as a student, and he said, he handed me a paper. And I still have that paper. And he said, you have to discipline yourself around these the yamas and niyamas. He said, sure, I'll consider initiating you, but you have to, the word he used was compose yourself. Compose yourself around the yamas and the niyamas of Patanjali. So I looked at the paper, and it was things that I thought, oh, this is going to be really easy. It is... let me see if I can find it here. Yeah, the yamas and the niyamas. The yamas are regulation on compassion, truthfulness, honesty, inwardness, and self-sufficiency. The niyamas are regulation on purity of body and mind, contentment of heart, sincerity, adhering to the sound of Om, merging the mind in pure consciousness. Okay. Okay, I'll go away. When can I come back and see you? And he made an appointment for me. It was 6 months later. So, okay, I'll come back and get initiated. So I went down to San Diego. I was living in L.A. I went down to San Diego 6 months later and sat in front of him again, and he said, told me stories. And toward that, I could tell he's kind of wrapping up. I said, but what about initiation? He said, well, first you must compose yourself. So I'm like, wow, okay. So that happened again. And this time I'm saying, Baba, I called him. Baba, I really don't know what you're meaning, compose, because I'm meditating, I'm living a good life, I'm clean, you know, everything's clean, the yamas and niyamas, and I don't understand why I can't be initiated. And he said, if you're composed, even on one of the niyamas is nonviolence. He said, if you're truly composed on nonviolence, even in the forest, if wild animals would come, and they certainly wouldn't harm you, they would lay down next to you because your vibration of nonviolence is so great. They would actually be drawn to you, and they would feel safe around you. And I went, wow, I don't know if I can ever achieve this. So I left. And then sometime in the interim, I'd gone through a divorce, and I'd actually become homeless. I felt like renouncing the world in a way because I gave everything to my ex-wife. And I kept an old Volvo station wagon that I lived in. And I traveled around, and I would meditate here and there on the beach, or at one of those points I went to Mesa Verde and hiked in and meditated as the sun came up, and these different places during that 6 months, I was literally homeless. So my appointment came because I'd made an appointment, and I went in to meet him, and I said, Baba, I'm less composed now than I've ever been in my life. And pretty much right on the heels of that, he said, make 3 days available for initiation. And so we went through the process, and that was August 19th, 1985. And so he finally left this earth in September 5th of 2017. So between 1985 and 2017, I was there very often. I would help him. I would take him to stores, take him to the post office. Every month we would have a full moon meditation. In July on full moon, he had what they call Guru Purnima, Guru full moon. And everybody that he had initiated would come. And there weren't many. I think the most I ever saw, and it was always Guru Purnima that most of them would be there, was maybe about 25. Because he made himself so difficult to see and would send people away that not many people would jump the hurdles. And so I began to realize that his providence wasn't to have this huge following. And he would even say that. And Babaji sent him here. He spent 12 years in the Himalayas with Babaji and hanging out, you know, with him. And he lived in a cave in a place that I've been to. During that time, I traveled to India and went to his cave and his hut that he had, and it was just across the way from Babaji's cave, the one that SRF actually recognizes as Babaji's cave. And so I've been to Babaji's cave twice, and my Baba's cave was on the mountain where there's this holy Divine Mother Temple. And there's like 350 steps. Each step has this prayer on it in Sanskrit. And it was an amazing experience. And when I visited there, I got to the top of these steps the first time I visited to the Divine Mother Temple on the mountain that my Baba's cave was in. And there was a villager that just appeared. It was really weird because no one was around, and it was very isolated and very quiet. And just when I saw the temple, this villager appeared, and he said, Babaji wants to see you. And I went, wow, you know, Babaji wants to see me. Where's Babaji? and he pointed to a hut that I hadn't seen. And I was like super aware because I was at this very special place and I was looking at all of these things. And all of a sudden, here was this hut. And Babaji was in this hut and I was traveling with a companion. And we go into this hut and we're sitting there and there was this very ancient, venerable soul sitting there. And just the eyes, like you couldn't even believe. And he greeted us, told us to sit down. And there was some fruit that people would bring him fruit, apparently. And there was some fruit there. And so he grabbed a banana. And literally in his hands, it turned into two bananas. It was really strange. He gave one to me and one to my traveling companion. And then he did a chant, a couple of chants. And one of them was Om Namah Shivaya. I recognized because we did a lot of that around Kananda. And he touched our third eyes. And it was an amazing experience. And we went back again the next day and sat with him. And he gave us various gifts and things. It was just amazing. And I think that next day we went to Babaji's cave on the next mountain across the way. It's called Pondicali. And that's where Babaji's cave is. And then a week or so later, we went back to Babaji's cave. And then we hiked to the top of that mountain, Pondicali, and there's a temple up there as well. And there was this one person up there that maintains this temple. And he showed us around, and it was just an amazing experience. But the reason I get into all of this story is that hopefully you understand that spirituality has deeply touched me. Spirituality has become the most important thing in this life for me. And to such a place that, and of course I meditate every day. And I've become very familiar with my spirit. And that's, I feel, the ultimate goal of meditation is to get to where you actually know who you are and what you are and that you are spirit. And you get to know that spirit. And that spirit is not your mind. It's not these things you think. It's not your emotions. It's not these things that distract you. It's way beyond that. It is much greater than that. It is truly who you are. And it is silence. One of the times that I called Baba, my phone says Eternal Truth. And that was my email, E-Truth. So it's Eternal Truth, which in Sanskrit, that means Sanatan Dharma, which means Eternal Truth, which is the essence of our Creator, which is... And Baba asked me, what is eternal truth? He's funny. What is eternal truth? Because I called him. And he knew it. I'd called him before. And I went, oh, he's just testing me. And I said, oh, the sound of Om. And he went, no, it is not. Eternal truth is absolute tranquility. It's absolute silence. Whoa, I should have known. Because in that place of knowing, in that place of spirit, when all of these things drop away and the mind is quiet, the silence, there's that essence that is hard to explain and put into words. It's like many of the religions say you can't put the, describe God. It's like that place of knowing that you are that, that you are the source, that you are complete, that the joy is just eternal. And so there's nothing that can hurt you or challenge you or hurt you. And that's the place the meditation ultimately leads you to. But why we meditate, why people meditate are many reasons. One is as you begin to taste that, you realize, okay, that's what I want. I thought I wanted all of these things of the world. But the reality is those things of the world gives you a taste of that, and then it goes away. Once you accomplish something that's great in the world, whether it's a position, money, whatever you got, it's like, wow, that's amazing. But then it kind of goes away because then the fear creeps in and the challenges creep in and all of these things, and you start losing it. So the one thing that meditation will give you, permanence of locking you in to spirit. And that's the great thing. And that's the thing that ultimately the goal. But some people meditate just for better health. They meditate to sleep better. They meditate even sometimes for prosperity, because when you're more attuned to energies, you can be more prosperous because you know who you are. You know there's no obstructions to the flow of energy, because we are all energy. And so we create these obstructions to it with these mental constructs, with these things that are negative that we have related to the world, and we create these obstacles. So that's another reason to meditate, is to allow yourself to be in that flow of positive energy. And I mentioned that the various chakras, when you meditate, you actually begin to work with the chakras, and you begin to clear out, because in past lives, we encounter things, we've done things, and we call it karma. We've done things that block us, that create obstacles for us, that create karma. In the yoga, it's called a samskara. You've created a samskara. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe you, in one life, you killed somebody, so there's a samskara there. Or maybe you were a thief, or, you know, not a good person. And so a certain samskaras were created. And so as you meditate, you begin to work those energies to help clear those out. And some of those may take many lifetimes to clear out, but because you're actually focused inside and working with those energies, you begin to open up and you begin to move through those, so you can actually go to higher levels within yourself, and you remove more and more blocks. And then ultimately you merge to the source, to the creator, to the cause of the entire universe. And my Baba always did three chants before we would meditate. And I like to do those before I actually go into meditation with this group. And they're very, very powerful, because in Sanskrit, and all of these are in Sanskrit, they're very ancient, tens of thousands of years. When we hiked up on Pondicherry, there were two guides, these young boys. And one of the things that I knew was, in that part of India, in the Himalayas there's lots of tigers and there's snakes and things like this. And I heard many stories about that. And my traveling companion was afraid of these things, but I kept assuring her that it was we were safe. Because the yogis, there's a lot of knowledge about how the yogis are safe from these animals. Like my Baba would say, when you embody nonviolence, the animals don't want to hurt you. And so when we started to climb Pondicherry, here comes this dog from the village. And this dog stays with us the whole time we climb this mountain. And then on the way back, when we reach that spot where the dog joined us, he trots off. And so that made my friend feel better, because this dog would make sure there were no tigers around and keep the snakes away. So it's kind of funny. So that's what she needed, was to have that dog with us. But at one point, the reason I said this, at one point these two guides were like three quarters of the way up this mountain, Pondicherry. It's the cave, it's the one that has Babaji's cave in it, and this one temple on top. And they started stomping on the ground. We're like, because they didn't speak English. And they said, hollow, hollow. And like, wow, you know, that's interesting. And they said, ancient civilizations, you know, like tens of thousands of years ago, there was a civilization there, hollow, like hollow earth. And so there was this entire civilization in that mountain from eons ago. And these Sanskrit chants are from those ancient times. And that's where Sanskrit, the sounds, the letters, actually have meaning. So all of these chants have a meaning because of the vibration. And you follow that vibration, it begins to resonate and take you closer to your home, closer to yourself. And that's why Baba would always do these three chants prior to meditating. And the first one is all about the aspects of God, which God is indescribable, but you attempt to put it into words. And that's what, you know, people would look at India and say, well, they have all of these gods. That can't be right. That's got to be like evil. That's got to be Satan or something, because there's all of these different gods they have. But the real Hindu knows there's God is indescribable. God is beyond form. God is beyond words. So they have these forms like Ganesh, and they put an attribute of God onto Ganesh, which is power and strength and overcoming obstacles. Well, that's a great attribute to have, but that's not God. That's an attribute of God, and they like to put it into a characteristic of an elephant. So there's these kinds of thoughts, but the real essence of it is God is indescribable. You can't put it into words, and there's no form. So the first chant is all of the different aspects, all of the beauty, everything that it is for us. The second chant is, and that one starts with Brahmananda. So when I start, you'll know that's, and then I pause a little bit after I do that chant, and I get to the one that is Pranamadang. That one is basically saying that God is, it's more about God, but it's more about how we are that. Literally translates as Pranamadan, this which has come from that, is also in its true sense us. And it is full, it is happiness, it is joy, it is expansiveness. It's found within us at our core. And the distracted mind prevents us from going here. So it's literally a prayer to reconnect with that is. So the second chant is also about just God being that and attempting to for us to reconnect with it. And the third is the universal prayer. And the universal prayer starts with Asato Ma Sat Kamaya. And Asato Ma is Asato is untruth, Ma is Divine Mother, Sat is truth, and Kamaya is lead me. So it literally translates as please lead me from untruth to truth, from darkness to light, from death to eternity, and kindly reveal yourself within us. So that is the universal prayer. And Baba would do those three chants every time, without fail, before we would meditate. And then we would sit with him for an hour on the full moons and at other times that I was there. And there were times that I was there that I was just working around his place and working with him, that he would go completely into samadhi. I would look over and he'd just be locked in his gaze. And he was just there with infinite God. And the air of peace was just amazing. So I feel like I was truly blessed to have lived the life I have. And I just wanted to stress with those of you that how important spirit is beyond all. And hopefully if I can convey even a little piece of that to you, then it's a great thing for me, because I love Jane and Billy and Zora's Rhea and this entire family and the good works they do. And this is just the beginning. We are just beginning. And the world that is going to benefit from this family, like, greatly. So I just want you to know how important this is to me. So thank you. And we'll go ahead
thank
and go
you.
Into some. Thank you, Jane.
Could excuse me, Harry Das. How
yes.
about I do have a person who put her light up. She just opened, so she has a question for you. So
great,
do you
because
do
afterwards
now?
It's hard to answer
okay.
questions because we're all kind of quiet and calm.
Yeah.
So yeah, let's do it now.
Thank you, by the way. I just wanted to say thank you so much for this beautiful teaching. I mean, this is a really
absolutely.
Excellent way, beautiful way for people to connect with who they are. So thank you for that. So I'll go ahead and take this one question that we have coming from 208, ending in 8394. 8394,
oh.
You're on the air with Hari Das.
Oh.
Hello.
Hey, Jane, I'm sorry. I just,
yes,
I
Connie?
Just joined because I got into an area where I could connect with you. I just joined, so I send my love, and I am ready to go
okay.
with Dr.
Thank
Jen.
You so much. Thank you. All right. Thank you. Thank you for being here. Yes. Beautiful teachings from Hari Das, which
are
we
there
are
any
very,
other
very honored
questions?
To
because
have him here.
It's better
there
to answer
it
now because at the end, I like to just drop off into silence. So if anybody has any questions about religion, about spirituality, about meditation, about anything.
I do have one other question. There aren't any other questions, but my question, Hari Das, is in regards to Kriya Yoga. You've never really spoken too much about Kriya Yoga, and I was just wondering, where does that come in to play for meditation or our meditation with you?
Yeah, I was initiated at the Mother Center by SRF, and then by my Baba, and my Baba stressed that initiation into Kriya was real important aspects of it, but it was reserved for being initiated by a master and direct from the master. And he was really strong about not doing group initiations. And he said Lahiri Mahasai was told by Babaji to do like husband and wife only. It would be the most you could do at once. And so and with the master.
Okay.
So I would love to actually teach Kriya if I could.
Yes.
I don't feel permitted because my Baba never told me that I was permitted to teach it. But I can certainly teach the basics of getting up to that place. If there are people that would like to proceed forward with Kriya initiation, there are some Kriya yogis that I know of that are permitted masters, a couple of them, and I would be happy to find you one of those. So, but it does take some time. You know, SRF, takes you through all those lessons, and they can take a couple of years.
I understand. There are some of us, there are some of us that have already taken Kriya Yoga. So we understand that. But we just wanted to understand, because you've mentioned it already, for other people to just kind of see where you were at with that. Perhaps maybe if you could give us, maybe the next time, information on who you know as far as where they could go to for their classes, that would be wonderful. Or even just begin, just the beginner's part of it would be really nice also for people to know just how to start. But it does take, at least a couple of years.
There are a couple of instances I could maybe rationalize that I would be able to do it, but I don't know. I'm not 100% certain. One of those is, when I was living at Ananda, I was laying down after meditation, and I was laying there and I heard this voice say, "Become the snake." And I thought, that's very strange, but I wasn't afraid because I actually realized it was like something to do with a snake, and it seemed like it was next to me, but I wasn't afraid. And then I heard the voice a second time, a little louder, say, "Become the snake." And then I realized it was inside of me. And it was an energy, and I saw felt the energy moving up my spine, and when it got up into my throat area, I started hearing this loud ring, and then it went to the third eye, and the ring was like obstructing, like everything was done. There was no sound, just this loud ring, and it was just this bright light, and right in the middle of this bright light was Yogananda in orange robes right in front of me. And later, when I told that to one of Muktananda's swamis, he said that's diksha, meaning that the guru came back to initiate me. And so that's always meant a lot to me. And after my Baba left, I was with him for 30 plus years, 33 or so years. And after he left the body, about a month after that, I was laying down and I saw him, and he said, "I am Dr. Jerry Shaw." And I thought, wow, why did you say that? And then I kind of came to, and he was gone. So part of me felt like he was telling me that he was moving through me from that point. So maybe, so I could rationalize that. Maybe I could go and I could continue his work.
I think that a lot of people can feel that energy already coming through you at all of our meditations so far.
Yeah. Thank you.
Just wanted to share that. Yeah, thank you. There are no more questions, Hari Das. So thank you so much.
Absolutely. So I would recommend everyone that this is the beginning of our meditation, our actual meditation. So find a place where you can be comfortable. You can sit with your spine erect. And Baba always, rather than have your head kind of tilted back, he had it, your chin tucked just slightly, because there's a place there at the top of the neck where the energy can get blocked. So not greatly like you're looking down, but just if you're sitting up as straight as possible, and then just a slight tuck of the chin opens up that block area. And that would be how he would sit. And best if you can sit cross-legged, because the energies circulate better. If that's uncomfortable for you, sitting in a chair is fine. In yoga, they talk about an asana. It's something that you sit upon that protects your energy from the earth, and woolen is best. So if you have a woolen blanket, then you can sit on that woolen blanket. I like to raise my sacral area just a little bit with a little bit of a pillow. It allows my lumbar area where your belly is to go a little bit forward. So that part of your spine, a little bit forward, but not uncomfortable, because the idea in Hatha yoga is to get your body to a place where you don't think about your body. And Hatha yoga is the big deal in the United States. Yoga means union, and ultimately it means union with God. In Hatha, it means it's movement. So you do these movements to help you have union with God. But to sit and meditate is actually Raja Yoga. That's the ultimate yoga. That's the royal yoga, the king of yogas, because that's where you get, where the rubber meets the road, where you get the energies working and you're actually union with God becomes real. And so what Hatha Yoga does is a precursor to that, so you get your body where it can be relaxed. So when you sit, if you have pain anywhere, just try to work yourself around a little bit so that the pain is not as apparent. And then maybe tense it and relax it a couple of times until you feel like you've released some of the tension there. If there's tension anywhere in your body, maybe just put your focus on a little bit, a slight little tense and relax. So you just allow your body to be completely relaxed and spine straight. And your gaze, your mental focus, is right like in between your eyebrows, because that draws the energy from the medulla oblongata, that base of the cranium, the top of the neck, towards the third eye, and pierces right through the pineal gland. And it's like a magnet that's pulling that energy up, and that's the idea of meditation, is you're working with the energy, you're working with the prana. And the key to prana is breath. And the Raja Yoga almost always uses breath. And so one of the techniques that leads you up to Kriya, and I still practice, and Muktananda recommended it, and Yogananda recommended it, and all of these teachers recommend it, because our mind is like this wild monkey constantly going from one thought to the next. And the mind always has to be engaged on something. It's like that. So the mind becomes ultimately the obstacle. So the trick is to engage the mind in following the breath. So how you do that is you inhale and exhale. So instead of looking out, close the eyes, gently lift the gaze, and focus on the inhale and exhale. And then after you've inhaled and exhaled a couple of times and you realize the movement, as you inhale and exhale, and now you're taking your awareness from out there to in here, now you follow the inhale with hum. Hum. I like hum. Yogananda did hong. I like hum. Muktananda was hum. So you inhale mentally. You say hum. Because in the very subtle parts of your spine, as the energy moves, there's a vibration. And that vibration is the sound hum, hum. And then as you exhale, so, so. You just feel the relaxation as that comes down. So, hum on the inhale. So on the exhale. And just continue to do that. And it's real important to not just do this when we have a meditation here, but to do it consistently every day. Baba stressed, and to be a Kriya Yogi, he said one of the things you agree to is to meditate every day. So it's real important to do it every day, because then your body begins to attune to it. If you do it once a week or once a month, you might feel the peace, but then you lose it. And the ideal is to strengthen that peace, strengthen the connection with who you are. And hum so will do that. They called it the mini Kriya at Ananda, and I think Yogananda talked about it being the mini Kriya, hum so. So it's very powerful, so not to be denied. And so I'm going to do the chants, and then we'll practice hum so. And then before we wrap up, I'm going to introduce a slightly different technique. There's one of the mudras that Yogananda taught, but I'm going to modify it a little bit because it's kind of a part of Kriya in a way. There's a mudra we're going to do before we then do a final little couple of minutes of just a peaceful relaxation. And that mudra, I'll describe it now, and then I'll re-describe it when we reach that point. Take your thumbs and press on the part of the ear that allows you to close the ear canal. So it's that tragus, that little flap that's on the anterior part of the ear. You just press that back and then let the fingers rest on the top of the head. So the thumbs plug the ear and the fingers just go to the top of the head. The real mudra actually has you plug some energetic points on your head. But for this purpose, without getting into all the details and explaining, we're just going to plug the tragus, going to plug the ear, and we're going to let the fingers rest on top of the head. And while we're doing that, we're going to chant over and over about 12 times. So when we get to that point, which after the chants, I'm going to allow time for us to practice hum so, 5, 6, 7, 8 minutes. Then we're going to do that mudra, say om about 10 times. And it's a very powerful connection with that causal sound, that causal energy. And then we'll just wrap the meditation up after that. So I'm going to go ahead and go into the chants that my Baba always did and really attune yourself to this, because each of these syllables vibrates a certain part of your spine and your energetic. So just listen in and feel where it takes you. Braum.
Shanti.
Shanti. Shanti. Asato. Tamaso ma jyoti ma mritu Now 5 minutes of inhale to be followed with hum. Exhale mentally followed. So. Now for 12 times we're going to chant Om. And you at home, do it as well. Take your thumbs, press the opening of the ear closed with the thumb. The anterior part, just kind of press it gently back with the thumbs. Let the ear, the fingers just rest at the top of the head. And then 12 times, I'm going to chant Om and just go ahead and do it on your own as well. So, and listen. You'll be listening inside your head to the sound, one of the first sounds that is looked for in meditation when you're listening for sounds. Of course, the ultimate is the Om sound. But the bumblebee is the first sound. So just listen as you chant Om and kind of try to listen more from the right side. That might sound a little strange, but the right side is what takes you closer to home. Home, home, okay? just sit a couple more minutes and just feel. If you have a thought, just observe it. Don't try to chase it away. It's natural. That's the brain working. But just observe. My Baba used to talk a lot about observing. Become more an observer of yourself. Even as you go through your day, if you observe yourself, you'll begin to realize that your spirit is the observer. And as you observe the thought, it'll just go away. It might be a feeling that comes up, and just observe it, feel it, experience it. Whatever the feeling might be. Could be something from your past. Just observe it. Maybe it's something you need to forgive of yourself or others. Maybe it's some bottled up love. Maybe it's fear. Observe it, and the fear will run away. The fear can't survive in the presence of who you are, because you are that. You are that source. You are that cause of the entire universe. Know that nothing can touch you. Nothing can hurt your spirit. You're strong. You're meant to be here. You're one of God's chosen to go out into the world with this strength, with this peace. Just be with that peace. Know that knowing, that strength. And I'm going to end with the chant that Bob always did at the end of the meditation. Which is about bowing down. And the reality is, bowing down is sublimating your physical body to your spirit. Because Muktananda used to always say, you bow to yourself, which is the self of all. So what you're doing is you're saying that you understand what is real. And who you really, truly are. Namo. Namaste astu sahasrakrita. Punacca. Namo Purasthe Krishtantaste Namastute Sarvata Eva Sarvam. It's a good idea to spend another 5 minutes just sitting and feeling, maybe writing in a notepad, expressing yourself, to kind of stay tuned to you. And then go ahead after about 5 minutes and take this feeling you have, this peace, this love, this courage, this strength. Take it with you into your world, because that is you. And the more you meditate, the more you'll get to know that truth. So I'm going to go ahead and drop off now, but I send my love and many, many blessings and my appreciation to you, Jane, and Billy, and Zora, Zarea, Flat Earth community, and this whole family. God bless you.
Namaste, everyone. Namaste, Haridasa. Thank you.